The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 23rd of August already, 2016. Nice and cool here up in the Northeast, and I couldn't be happier. Well, let me refresh it. It's in the 70s as opposed to 95 and 100% humidity, so it has gotten much better. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free ebook. All you have to do is commit and take some action. The two biggest products to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. As I say, you know, commit, take action, simplicity, and it's very easy to digest all of that and really do some great things if that's what you want to do. I can't say any more about it. And I say this in the beginning and the end of the show, as my dad always told me, be a leader, not a follower. Very, very important. We're all about excellence today. That's all I've been saying all day today. Everybody, strive for your excellence. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. I'm going to bring our good friend Clint Darden in here shortly. Go out and just look at all the shows I've done with Clint. There, right there. If you look at all, the last show we did is longevity. That was only a few days back because Clint now is in the 500 market with us. We hit our 500th download with Bill Hinburn the other day. It's an incredible feat, I'm telling you, to be able to get to this point and the things that are transpiring. I can't wait to tell everybody what's going on. And that brings me into, obviously, everyone knows if you don't, we are a 24/7 radio show now. You can go out and listen to us 24/7, or you go to our website. You go to, let's see, you can go to Stitcher, iTunes, but the biggest things now, we're out on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha, which is for all the cars. All the new cars are outfitted for podcasts, and AHA, Aha, it's called, is where we reside, where you can get Motivation and Muscle. Go out, though, and check out the last show I did with Clint. Wait till you see the picture of him with the Farmer Walk implements. The guy looks like one badass dude. And as I told him, I'm pretty sure when we got the picture, I think it I'm not sure if it's his wife or his friend. I think it's a buddy of his. I don't mean it. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that's a guy, though. It's not his wife. But you see his car backed in. You see the tires, the stones everywhere. It is awesome. You talk about a visual, man. I want to give you a little bit about Clint. Number one, he is a strong man for sure. Olympic lifter, trainer, stone lifter, and you all know him from the House of Biceps. And I think the most important thing is not only is he a hell of a man, you see him with his two little boys, but as he tells me, he is a trophy husband. And we want to get that right across to everybody. And not only that, I don't need to go into this, but you know, Clint's dealt with some, and he still is with some health problems. And to see what he's doing, he's got my admiration and total respect. And a guy of his ambition, of his courage, of his strength, obviously, and his ability to just be decent to people is something that you don't see a lot of anymore. So when there's people out there like that, you can be damn sure I'm going to call you out on it. We're going to talk about, and this is going to be a hell of a show. They all are, though. It's going to be called The Ability to Finish. So, Clint, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, yeah, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to have you here. If there's anything I missed, you know, please put it out there and we'll start the show.
No, I'm great, man. I'm great. Just glad to be here and glad you're over 500 finally.
Hey, dude, I'm looking at 1,000 now, right?
one giant step at a time.
We're looking at 1,000, and we're looking at over 1 million listeners by next May. So as you can tell, I have lofty goals, but if you don't set lofty goals, you seem to settle, and I'm just not a settling kind of guy. The ability to finish, lead the way, sir.
You know, we talked back and forth about this the other night, and, yep. You know, a big thing that's just been digging into me, one of the big things that I hear from people all the time, you know, they get to the powerlifting meet, you know, squats went good, bench went good, the meat drug on, and they just had nothing left when it came time to deadlift.
Yep.
I'm thinking, how is that possible? How can you be a powerlifter and have nothing left in the tank when it comes time to deadlift? You know, or even guys that just bench and pull. How do you get to the deadlift and you don't have the finishing power to at least make one decent pull? You know, it's like saying, yep, I'm a basketball player, but, you know, don't put me in the fourth quarter, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal is one of the greatest centers of all time. He was smart enough to know he needed to go out on the court for the first 3 minutes, then take a three-minute break, then he'd play the entire rest of the game. But
yep,
you got to be a fourth-quarter finisher. You got to be that guy that when it counts, you can finish it. Strong men, when they get to the, you know, last event of the day, so many guys are saying, oh, I just had nothing left. You know, after car deadlift and log press and Viking press and bombers and stones, I just had nothing left. How can you possibly be a strong man and just have nothing left at the end of the day? You know,
yeah,
as a parent, I never get to say, sorry, I got nothing left. It's 10 o'clock, I got nothing left. No.
Those guys, my
kids don't care. You know, that's it, you know.
I was just going to say, they'll be on you no matter what. You know what I mean? What do you think? I mean,
well, you know, okay, look, everything comes. I think the solution to everything is mental, physical, or technical. Everything is always one of those three. So, you know, if you look at some kind of mental issue, maybe it's just learning to be tough, or maybe it's just, you know, mentally accepting that, hey, this is hard. You know, hitting a deadlift, you know, after you drove to the meet, after you've done squats, maybe you've missed your opener and your second, you squeaked out your third, you know, you went through bench presses, the meat drug on, you know, maybe it's just accepting the fact that, hey, you know what, this is hard, and this hurts, and it's painful, and that's exactly what I love about it, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just having the mental ability to be able to stay focused and turn that switch, that crazy switch, on and off all day long, and get there to the end. But you got to have that mental ability to be able to flip that switch, you know, at the very end. You got to have the mental ability to be able to finish. You know, you got to have the strength to be able to do it. You know, it's that, you know, part of that comes down to just the endurance of, well, you know, I get all these, like I said, I get powerlifters that come to me that say they can't finish a deadlift. So what do I have them do? You know, we have a Saturday, every Saturday, or most of them, it's their day three of training. I'll have them go in there. They do a squat, a bench press, and a deadlift all in the same day. And they start complaining, man, it was a 3-hour training session. I was just dead by the end. You know, I had nothing left when it came to deadlifts. How is that possible? How is if you can't pull off a squat, bench, and a deadlift under gym training conditions, how do you expect to do it on meet day?
You're not going to.
No, but it's, you know, it's like never practicing for a basketball game or a football game, but then showing up at the Super Bowl and wondering why you didn't win.
Exactly.
You know, you got to be able to practice the exact same way. You know, you've got to practice the exact same way that you're going to compete. Your body's got to have that endurance to be able to do it. You've got to have the strength to be able to finish the game. And then on top of that, you got to have the technical ability to do everything. If you're going to have a long day, I don't care what kind of issue you've got in front of you, whether it's a powerlifting meet, whether it's a strongman competition, whether it's, you know, with your kid, just a, you know, a vacation day with your family, which is tougher than any powerlifting meet or strongman competition. Full vacation day from sun up till sundown with your kids and family is the toughest thing you're going to have to do. You got to be technically perfect. You can't make any mistakes. You know, that's when all of your training, everything has to be absolutely perfect, or you end up hurt, badly injured. And
it
blows my mind that people can't put this together and make it all happen.
Well, you know, it reminds me of when you say, especially with the family, and I think it was Godfather 2. And, I mean, now they'd be all, a lot of women would be upset. But old man Corleone had a good point. Women can be careless, kids can be careless, but men can't. See, that's a real important line there, because when you go out and do things, and if people are depending on you, if you are the head of the family, and I know everybody does the sharing and all that, but I'm talking about girls that understand that they're better in some things than men, and men are better than them in things. And I think that's where we've kind of lost a viable piece of relationship. And, you know, you said on a couple shows back, which we were laughing about, but, man, you were right on the money. The split personality. We are split personalities that eventually are, that fork is going to meet in the center of the road again. Now, when you're talking about conditions, I'm with you, because I, you know, when I hear, I think 105 is hot in my garage. When you're talking 145, like, you got to be one tough SOB to endure that, okay?
Yeah, but now, when you say it's 65 outside, I'm thinking, holy cow, turn the heat on.
Yeah, no, I know, way. But you know, they're bitching about it today already. I had to wear a coat to go to work. I'm saying, hoo-hoo-hoo, you know what I mean? It's like, God. But my point is this, you know, you've heard me, we've talked enough about, you know, like yourself. I mean, the conditions here are very extreme at times, and I think – when you have to deal with a lot of extreme things, and obviously what you do with the setup, I agree totally. If you can't do at, whether it's a home gym, outside, what you plan on doing at a meet, you're not going to make it. And you know something? This isn't a gym. It's not an environmental room that's conditioned by when it gets a little cold, the heat comes on, you know, a little hot. Well, most of them got air conditioning, or we got some way to ventilate the place. You know, I don't want something like that. That's not going to create the toughness I'm going to need when I get on the battlefield, because goddamn, man, we've talked about this, and I've been in it, and you've been in it. You know something? People could be cheering your name all day. I don't even hear it. It's like garble in my ear when I hear it. And they could be all standing there, fist pumping and clapping and everything. You and I both know it's a blur. It's a freaking blur.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
So when you're talking about why can't we finish, well, I think it goes even further. We said this before we came on. We talked about it a little bit. It goes further even than the gym. I mean, go out and take a walk around and look. I, you know, as everybody knows, I'm a big observer. I've always been. I love to observe people. I like to watch the way they walk. I like the way I watch them, like, in a grocery store. How do you pick stuff up? I know this sounds like, what the hell is he talking about? This all goes into how I formulate this show. People's mannerisms, the way they speak, the way they have their posture, whatever they're wearing, okay, says a lot about you. And this is the same way when you get on the battlefield or when you're out in my 105-degree gym. They'll say, well, weights are inanimate objects. No, they're not. Everything in there has vibration, and it is a life form, whether it speaks or not. To me, it all speaks, okay? You don't think, and I could be totally off the beam, and I want your opinion on this, Clint. I won't be long. You don't think when I go out there, those weights or those stones don't sense fear or being tired or maybe not coming in with the right mental attitude, or you don't think they hear me saying, like, you suck tonight? What do you think's going to happen if you go with that perception with everything you're doing and everything around you is perceiving you as, like, you know what, we're going to thump on this SOB tonight and we're going to beat him right into the ground even harder. Tell me, what do you think? I mean, you know.
Well, I guarantee you every Saturday night my stones are just sitting there talking about me because they know I'm coming they know I'm coming there on Sunday. I mean, how you think about it. You and I, we message back and forth quite a bit. I don't know how most of our messages have been you sending me a message that would have been on Wednesday morning your time, Wednesday afternoon or evening my time. And I just reply back and say, you know, you'll say, hey, what's going on? And I'll say, I'm sitting here looking at a squat bar. And I'm literally at the gym. You know, I'm changing into my squat shoes, and I've got the squat bar sitting in the rack, and I'm just sitting there looking at it because I know it's sitting there talking to me, and we're about to go to war. And, you know, it sounds really stupid when I say it like that, but, you know, that's the mentality it takes for me to be able to have a good relationship with it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? For us to work, you know, I'm either going to work with it or against it. So, I want to win, so I'm going to work with it.
Well, absolutely. One of the things really rung a bell, you know, I like a lot of shows, and I'll tell you the other day before, you know, when I wrote the show notes, I think that show was about an hour and 20 minutes. I listened to the whole show. It was that damn good, and I'll tell you why. Not only was it instructional and very inspiring, but the content was just something you could wrap your arms around. And I was very, very enthused, let me put it to that way, mildly. Sitting here, I was like, when I listen to that show, that makes me want to go out and go bananas. And one of the things in the show that really got to me that you said was this, because I've done this before, but it brought it all back again. You said the preparation, packing the bag, knowing what you're going to take with you to go and be successful with the lift. I was like, you know what? If there's any genius to anything in that show, that was the genius, because you got to get amped up. You got to get fired up. You got to enjoy it. You got to know, you, like you said, we're going to go in and do War of the Weights or the Stones or whatever today. And we got to know, no matter what happens, we're going to give our very best effort, and we're going to put our foot right across the throat of it, and we're going to win. That, to me, is one of the most important things you can draw from when, like, that last show we did. It was incredible like that, and what you're taking from that and what you can do with that. And then secondly, you know, lifting to me, and it's always been this way to me, is very goal-oriented because, you know, we're talking about finishing. Mm-hmm. But I remember this, you know, before I went to Iceland or even knew about Iceland and the Husafell Stone, you know, I had read about Steve Jack. I have his books and the video of him going to Iceland and lifting the Husafell Stone, because in my opinion, he gives all the credit to Bill Crawford, who was part of it, but Steve was the pioneer of that, as far as America finding out and getting interested in it. And I can remember, because you made kind of reference to this, I remember Steve saying, that stone, you know, we've got to meet, and I've got to befriend it, basically, but I also know I've got to lift it and beat it. But it was funny in how he equated it. It's like, not only is it like a girl that you really wanted to meet or a girl you fall in love with, but most of it is you get to wrap your arms around eternity. I thought those words were some of the most poetic stuff I ever heard, and I didn't do it exactly the way he did, but the comprehension of how he saw that object that most people say, well, what the hell do you want to go over and lift that thing for? What's that going to prove? Or what does it matter if you wrap your arms around it? Well, here's what I want to tell everybody. There's more to life than just getting up every day and doing something you hate.
Right.
Okay? That, you know, and when you can figure this kind of stuff out, when you can figure where do you want to be? What do you want to do? What's important to you? What goals are you going to hit and build? Hit and build. Because, you know, I love talking to Clint. You know, we talk business and shop a lot, and I tell him what's going on. He tells me what's going on, and people that contact him, and they contact me. And you know what? All these words are great, but until you get massive experience with this stuff, till you get popped in the chin 1 million times or more, till you have these failures, and I don't even like calling them failures. To me, they're just like corrections. You're never going to know what a goal really means, what you can do with yourself personally, professionally. And one of the most important things is, what are you going to do with your family, your girlfriend, your wife, you got children? How are you going to conduct yourself? Because if you learn how to win in the gym, you can win anywhere. Take it away, man.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree with you anymore. I think what we do is we give passion and purpose to something in our life. And I, yep, you know, I say this almost every show or variation of it, you know, that there's so many people out there, our friends that we meet, you know, the people, yep, that we see at the store, you know, our old buddies from high school, college, down the street, from church, from, you know, our wives, friends, whatever. You know, we see these guys and there's something missing in their eyes. You know, they've got nothing left. They don't have a dog left in the fight, you know?
Nope.
And
nope.
You know, their only goal is just to survive, and that's a solid goal. You know, getting through the day with, you know, paying all the bills at the end of the month, that's a solid goal, but for most people it's not satisfying. You know, my wife is an IQ of 160. Mine was 157. She likes to point out that she was 3 points higher than me. She's an absolute genius. She's still pursuing her PhD. I would say she's probably the smartest person when it comes to autism in most of Europe. The head administrator for the National Autistic Society of the country of England issued a statement that said exactly that she was the best she had ever seen in all of Europe. My wife is extremely successful in everything that she does, but she carries her weightlifting medals with her at all times because she set a goal.
Yep.
And the goal was just to go and lift. And, you know, then it was to go and make these numbers. And she went, she made the numbers, she got on stage, the biggest stage you can get, and took home medals. And she's proud of that. There's very few things else that she's more proud of. And she's not the kind of person that focuses on sports anymore.
Right.
But just, you know, going through all the crap that she goes through with all day. And then just to stop for a while, you know, during every part of her day and say, all right, today I'm going to snatch this. Today I'm going to snatch this. I've got to be prepared. I'm going to work on my food. You know, she gets to step away from all the crap in her day and think about all the easy stuff she has to do to be successful in the gym. And that's, you know, a decent night of sleep, good food, some stretching, plan my programming. And that's a key to success. You know, that's what we do in the gym. We've got this simple key to success, and if people would just set any kind of goal, I don't care if it's to lose an inch, you know, if it's to run a 1.1 miles instead of 1 mile, whatever it is, go out there and set some kind of goal, make a plan, and knock it out, and then celebrate like crazy when you do. You know, I've been a little sick lately. Sunday I went in the gym, 7th event. It was 140-something outside, 89% humidity. Almost 9 o'clock in the gym. I've been training for almost 5 hours. Last event, I deadlifted a PR of 685 for a doubles, the best I've done in a long time.
Yep.
And then ACD Thunderstruck came on the radio as I began to deadlift. And then I set the bar down and went straight into the air guitar. And people are going to watch the video and think I'm an idiot. But you know what? I just said that's the best I've done in a long freaking time. You should air guitar after that. I mean, it should be a law. You should have to air guitar after a PR.
Yeah. I got no problem with it. We do blood curdling screams here all the time.
My clients, they set some deadlift PR. I'm like, where's the Viking Warrior yell? And I'll send them videos of the Ultimate Warrior entering the ring, you know, from back in the 80s. And I said, that's what I expect from you. When you set a PR, I want to see some serious celebration. You know, own that and enjoy it.
Well, you know what I think, too? A lot of people are just flat out, you know, I don't want to brag or I'm embarrassed. What a load of crap that is. You know, you don't have to rub it in anybody's face, but you should celebrate it. You should let people know, hey, you can do this, too. There's just too much of this anti-climatic stuff, and the stuff that is climatic is all bullshit. You know, I got the newest phone with this, that, and the other thing. It's like, who cares? How about I just got a 680 deadlift that I haven't been able to do in, say, 2 years, and I smoked it, all right? Those are the things that are going to ring through eternity. Those are the things that when you leave this world, you're going to take with you, because you and I both know there's going to be another time and another place where we're going to get the iron again. I don't believe this is the last trip to Ironville, believe me.
Well,
and
the thing for me is my best deadlift is 821, and I've deadlifted over 800 more than 100 times in my life, and then I've gone through a long, long, rough road. January of this year, we're talking 8 months ago, I deadlifted 308 pounds. 308 pounds, and it was rough, and it was ugly. Yep. So for the majority of, say, the first 4 months of this year, my deadlift one rep max was based off of between 300 and 400 pounds. And I sat there with the numbers in my head, and it's just itching away. A rep here, sets of three here, sets of five here, you know, a block of chains, a block of bands, some partial pulls. Bring up the hamstrings, bring up the abs, bring up the lower back, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, and just to be able to see it. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to keep on trucking. I'm going to keep on going.
Yeah.
But I got to finish what I started, man.
Well, I agree. And the main thing is you have not submitted to it. And that's the biggest thing. And, you know, on the medals with your wife, I mean, that's a story unto its own. I mean, you know, little girls, boys, just think of what your two sons are interpreting all the time with you two. I mean, you talk about gold. I mean, talk about gold. I mean, for them to be around winners like that, you got to be very excited for the future of those two young men.
Yeah, I will not say that my wife and I are winners. I will say that we're not quitters. I'll say that there's a difference, even if it's just terminology. You know, I competed at weightlifting nationals here in Cyprus a couple of years ago, and I trained full time as a weightlifter for 8 months straight to prepare for it. And that was 10 to 14 training sessions per week. And I didn't train Saturday. So that was two sessions a day, minimum, almost every day. And my son was with me almost every one of those training sessions. So he sacrificed so I could be prepared for nationals.
Yep.
I mean, a little kid gave up, you know, 3 hours of his afternoon every single day just to go to a gym that was either freezing hot or freezing cold and boring with no internet connection, which is huge for a little kid. So I get to nationals and I qualify for worlds. Eight months at, you know, from beginning training, I qualify for weightlifting worlds, and they give out trophies to every competitor there except for me. And my son comes running downstairs afterwards and says, "Dad, why didn't you get a trophy? You worked so hard. Everybody else got a trophy. They didn't work as hard as you." I didn't have the answer for that. And I was, you know, that they weren't really going to let me lift in the meet because I'm not a citizen here. They let me lift out of the meet. And, you know, later on that afternoon, I walked out to my my car in the parking lot. The president of the federation walked over, handed me a first place trophy and said, "You deserve it."
Nice.
My son grabbed that trophy and it's still in his room. I never got to touch it after that. He grabbed that trophy because he felt that was his. He was more proud that. I don't know if he was proud that he sacrificed for it or that I sacrificed for it, or he just saw his dad bust his tail for 8 months. And, you know, I saw it through. I was the only athlete there out of everybody that qualified for weightlifting worlds at that competition.
And he didn't
understand why his dad didn't get a trophy.
Right, but just think about now what that's done to him. I mean, you can't. Those things, when they happen like that, especially in a very positive way, you know, even though it was all rectified, he didn't understand the beginning. Boy, you get kids like that, you know, I'm thinking about that.
There's
going to
be a point in his life where he's going to be 30 years old, 35, and he's going to have kids, and he's going to be trying to do something. He's going to be failing at something. I don't know if it's work, if it's marriage, if it's money. You know, if kids are tough, bills, you know, whatever it is, and he's going to sit back and say, you know what, my dad wouldn't have quit. My dad could do it.
Exactly.
You know, what's my excuse? If my dad could do it, I can do it. It's in my genes.
Exactly.
I know I can do it. I can dig deep and do it.
But think about how many kids don't have that, you know, and that's the thing. But you see a lot of them, too, rise up somehow, whether it's mentors or somebody in the neighborhood that takes them under their wing and they survive and make it. And, you know, when you're trying to reach these big lofty goals, and we all know we have things happen. That's just the way life is. How are you going to, you know, how are you going to digest that? And what are you going to do to beat it back? That's always my case. And it's like, you know, I love going out like last night. It, you know, it was cooler out. It was a lot of fun to go out. And it was just very enjoyable to go out and lift heavy and no, you know, not, no strain, nothing like that. And by that, I mean, the expectations are still there, but the ability now to go out and know you're getting healthier and healthier and enjoying the build up now. This is one of the things people don't get. The build up to where you want to get is very, very enjoyable, and you've got to learn to enjoy it. You have to obviously be very committed, very serious, obviously very action-oriented. But the thing is, and I did this for a long time, I made it so rigid at times it became unenjoyable. Just because you're enjoying something and really showing your passion for it doesn't mean that you're skating what you're doing. What it means is you've now figured it out how you can do this, get very good at it, and at the same time enjoy it. Because when you enjoy things, you're telling other people about it. And when you're doing things like that, doesn't that make you better? Doesn't that make you stronger? Doesn't that make you more enduring? Absolutely. Because as my great college professor said, Frank Klein, repetition, repetition, repetition. If you're telling yourself and telling others what you're doing and how great it's going and how you're looking a few years down the road to the future, it could be nationals, it could be a world championship, hell, it might be just squatting 400 pounds down your cellar, all right? But it's big, man. And
absolutely,
when you put out that big medicine, more's going to attract to you. And I try to get this through to everybody on the show. I know we all have days where we don't think good about ourselves, or you might have a moment where you get really pissed and say some stuff. We're all guilty of it. I do it. But I know one thing. I know how to override it now very quickly and get rid of it. And what I do then is I take something and I reinforce the good with it. Because, as I've said many times before, you know, public opinion, people's opinion, whatever it is, if you accept it, then you get what you get. But the thing is, you got to realize when you are worrying about perception and what others are doing, you're not doing your job.
Absolutely.
And that's the most important thing, is to do your job. Be the best. I was saying all day today, I was telling Clint before we came on, excellence, excellence, excellence. That's all I've been saying today. What do you want to pursue? You know, that's what we're talking about, the ability to finish. What goal? How excellent do you want to be with something? What do you want to show people out there? I mean, everything that you do should be, I like to do things as perfect as I can. Now, people say, well, there's nothing perfect. Well, maybe there's not. But if I go out there and I'm going to sweep the garage out, which sounds like nothing, I'm going to sweep that out to the best of my ability. I'm going to clean it down. Am I going to clean my bars today? Okay, so I've got my little wire wheel out there, and I'm cleaning it up, and then I put, obviously, the stuff they use for guns to put on them so it preserves them. That's what I preserve my bars with. Am I going to pull the ends out maybe on a York bar, make sure it revolves? Well, absolutely. So what I'm saying here is, with your excellence and your perfection, you do the stuff the best. I want that York bar to look brand new, even though it could be 20 years old.
Absolutely.
So, you know, go ahead, Clint. But you know what I mean? It's
I agree, man. If you've got a goal, especially a big one, all you have to do is work towards it. That's it. I mean, that's it. You mentioned the guy squatting 400 pounds in his basement. That's huge. That's
huge.
People will say, oh, man, there's some guy on the internet, on Instagram, bragging about his 315 squat. Well, who knows, man? Maybe 315 was freaking huge for him. You know, one of my biggest mentors is Willie Wessels, as far as strongman and powerlifting goes. Willie Wessels, at one point in time, was the lightest guy to ever squat 1,000 pounds. He squatted 1,004. He squatted 1,004 pounds in the 242 class, but he only weighed about 237. He squatted 1,000 pounds 8 weeks in a row as demonstrations in meets.
Wow.
On top of it, he deadlifted 799, never pulled 800. Every time he put 800 on the bar, he always dropped it. But he pulled 799 in a meet, world record holder. He kicked. He was by far the best in lightweight amateur strongman back in the day. But what people don't know is he was given 8 weeks to live from cancer.
Wow.
8 weeks to live. So
unreal.
Every single Friday squat day. every single Friday, he left straight from the hospital, went straight to the squat bar and squatted a 50-pound squat bar, 55-pound squat bar. And that was all he could squat was 55 pounds.
Unreal.
He went from a body weight of, say, 250 down to maybe 140, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's in there busting his tail with a 55-pound squat bar, you know. And within a year and a half, he was back at lightweight world series men again.
And you know what?
If you went downstairs in the basement, you've been busting your tail, and you still got an absolute terrible squat. Celebrate that squat, man. Get excited. Figure out what you did right, and just keep doing it. Keep on trucking. You know, I didn't begin with an 800-pound squat or a 900-pound squat or a 1,000-pound squat. You know, the first time I ever squatted was on a Smith machine. I put the empty bar, and I went to the bottom and didn't come up. At that point, it was just adding weight. That's it. Add a little bit here, a little bit there for long periods of time. So one of the best things you can do is go in the gym and realize you suck at something, whatever that is. Yeah. Or in life, whatever it is that you suck at, just accept it. Hey, I suck at it. Now, is it mental, physical, or technical? I can fix all of those. Make a plan. And then I'm going to get better every single day. And you know what? Every single day that I get better, I'm going to celebrate. And the more that I celebrate, the more fun it's going to be. The more fun it's going to be, the harder I'm going to do it. The harder I do it, the better and the faster I'm going to be. And it's a circle. And, you know, life is the same way, whether it's the gym, whether it's business, whether it's family, whatever it is. You want to be a millionaire? That's your goal. You know, dedicate everything towards that goal. And, you know, every time you make a dollar, you're $1 closer to being a millionaire. And celebrate the heck out of it. Put the AC/DC on an air guitar with every dollar you
get. Well, I'll tell you what, momentum is the word. Once you get momentum. Hey, you know, when you're talking about the gentleman who is the lightweight power lifter, you know, think about anybody that follows Denny Stones. Jack Shanks was unbelievable. This guy was only 5'10", maybe. I don't think he was any more than 165 pounds. This guy lifted him barehanded. I don't know many people that have. I'd have to go out and look and see who has, besides Denny, I'm sure. But can you imagine that? Think about that. If you said that to somebody, you know, you're talking in excess of over 750, I think close to 800. With chain that comes out of the stone with a ring that literally, I've got the rings here. You load that up even to 200-300 pounds. That thing feels like it's going to rip it through your
body. You have hands made out of, you know, sandpaper or something? That's ridiculous.
You have to. But the thing is, you know what it is? We base so many things on body weight and height. You know, there's guys that are twice his size that couldn't lift those stones barehanded, man.
Right.
And they're considered, you know, the strongest people in the world. You know, we looked at, you know, for anybody that didn't know, and I don't want to get off this too much, but this is going to be a little bit different here. You know, we just find out, and I congratulate him. Brian Shaw won World's Strongest Man. Half Thor came in second. Now, the big missing ingredient this year was obviously Big Z. I don't know. It looks to me it could have went 1-2-3 again. Who knows? But you know what? It's amazing to me that, see, nobody can crack too much those three. And now, if Zivikas is done, which I highly doubt which I highly think he won't be, there's going to be a big shift in that whole thing. It'll be a big shift even in the Arnold. I believe Eddie Hall was third in that.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting concept how the shift, and we're going to shift it even like when we're talking about the ability to finish, the mind shift, I can't wait to watch it. I can't believe it was as good as it usually was. Zivikas brings, you know, it's like you have, like with you, Clint, you know, you train with your friends. It's like take one of the friends out of the equation that you guys were like a very tight unit, and they're not going to, say they moved away or they're not going to be around for 3 months. There's a definite difference just in the mood, the atmosphere, the triggers that trigger things off. And I can imagine it had to be the same way, because it had to be strange as hell not to see Zivikas standing there, man. I mean, he's been a staple forever there. And this is what we're talking about with goals. Things shift. You know, when we were talking about the stones are alive, the weights are alive, everything vibrates. Well, don't think that all those things that had taken place and transpired before, I still feel they're there. He might not be there physically, but he's there, man. And it was just very interesting to see how that thing played out. I do wish him the best, and I hope he's back next year. To me, it's a big loss for strength.
Well, he did compete last week, and he did compete with the Arnold Sports Festival Asia.
Oh, great. Okay.
He did compete. He only did a 190 kilo log, so that's like 410, something like that. He pulled out of World's Strongest Man due to a back injury.
Right.
Is he done? Is he not? I don't know. I think it's in his blood. I think he'll do. I can't see him pulling out of World's Strongest Man with the intentions of quitting Strongman and then going out and doing another show the same day.
No way.
With World's Strongest Man, the thing that nobody seems to be really recognizing is Eddie Hall. I mean,
absolutely.
Everybody has said all year long, Eddie Hall is just a deadlifter. That's it.
Yep.
You know, deadlifted 500 kilos. That's all he's done. And he took a lot of crap for showing up to Europe's Strongest Man, walking out, deadlifting, and then not doing the rest of the show.
Yep.
And everybody said, well, it's because he's not a complete strongman. Take third at World's Strongest Man behind Shaw and Thor.
Yep. Yep.
What do you say that's now? He took the entire year from beginning to World's Strongest Man and planned everything out. With him finishing on the podium at World's Strongest Man. He played everything smart, no injuries. He dialed his cardio in early in the year, got his body weight to where it needed to be. He's been hitting the sprints. He's been swimming hard. You know, he's done all of his work on the events. You know, he pick and chose where he needed to be, you know, throughout the entire year. So when it came to World's Strongest Man, he was ready.
He was absolutely ready. Well, that's what cracks me up because
he did horrible. He had two dislocated fingers on the frame carry and took last on the frame carry. Now, had he done even remotely decent on the frame carry, there's a really good shot he would have been at first place at World's Strongest Man this year. And this is the same guy that a couple of months ago everybody was saying he's an incomplete strongman. He's only a deadlifter.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, how can you only be a deadlifter regardless? I mean, that's ridiculous. Man, you don't think the guy's strong? I mean, jeez. I mean, but you know, that harkens back to where we have had these discussions. I think you and I have talked about past strongman. Could they compete today with the Shaws and the Thors and all that? Some say yes, some say no. But I'll tell you what. To me, one of the most complete strongmen was Ahola. I always thought because. He was the guy that was 272 pounds that wasn't big enough. And there were big guys back when he was doing it. You know, I can remember guys in the threes, high threes. I mean, supposedly he couldn't do anything. Now, I know there's a different breed of athlete from the 90s. I got it. But, you know, he was also the first guy to basically have the whole course at his house.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of started a trend with that. I think... When I see strongmen, I mean, obviously, you know, Kazmaier, that guy was just brutal. John Paul, I mean, you know, I guess what I'm trying to put across was this. Some of the guys were much more personality, you know, based. They're great athletes. I mean, Kazmaier, all those guys, the intensity. You know, when we were talking about intensity before, I mean, who had more intense eyes than Bill Kazmaier? I can't think of anybody in strongman, you know. And I'll tell you another thing, Clint, that I enjoyed, and it was the early strongman. You know, I like the genre of, you know, Ken Patera, Lou Ferrigno, Franco Colombo. It had a different feel, and I know they probably had to change it due to the marketing, the whole thing. But, you know, when I'm watching guys bend steel across their head and carry refrigerators and this and that and the other thing, I don't know. There's something to me. It's a little bit more special to me. I think that's what got me so interested in it. And obviously it's progressed and things have changed here and there. But to be honest, if I had a choice between watching the Arnold or WSN, I'd watch Arnold.
You know, the sport definitely changed. And I think Ahola was definitely one of those guys that changed it. He was one of the first people who decided he was going to be specifically a strongman. Everybody else before him had been a power lifter that did strongman or a wrestler that did strongman. and he was one of the first, especially at that level, that said, "Look, I'm going to be a strong man that does other stuff to help my strongman events."
Absolutely.
And he was, you know, don't let anyone lie to you. He was 5'9", maybe 5'10".
Yep.
And they,
yep,
they listed him as 120 kilos, 265 yep pounds on a good
yep
day.
Yep.
And this is a guy that could deadlift over 800 pounds for reps.
Brutal. Brutal.
Absolute fierce, man. Absolutely. Amazing to watch. He retired and became a professional hockey player. You know,
yeah,
he retired from strongman and becomes a professional hockey player. You know?
Jeez. And I guess he was doing movies and stuff, you know, but I'll tell you what. I'll never forget on the cover of Milo, you talk about spinal erectors.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than David Riegert, I don't know if I've ever seen a back like that. I mean, you could put your fist literally between his spinal. I mean, I just admired a man because I like the idea. You know, once again, it's like the underdog status. It's like, here's a guy that shouldn't be competing, but yet he competes and wins. And when we're talking about the ability to finish, what the hell is more better than that? I mean, here's a guy, obviously was head and shoulders mentally above anybody, I got to believe, because there's plenty of strong, bigger guys there. But yet, he could win. He could pull it out. He could, you know, when you can put your will on things, you can do an awful lot of stuff. These are all things that you have to be around people or someone teach you or you teach yourself. And I'll go back to this and I'll shift it right to you. I still believe, and I'm going to say this to the day I get put in the ground, the best life lesson you can learn is to train alone. And train alone for a long time if you have that disposition and the ability to. Not everybody does. A lot of people have to have somebody around them. I don't. Because I've had no choice at times where I had to go out and do things alone. So you carry that on and on through the years. What do you think? I mean, you know, you're alone a lot. I don't know. Do you feel that that's really lent to your, not only your survival, but the things that you've done, the goals that you've attained, and the goals you got down the road? Do you think that being alone has really lent itself to you like that, Clint?
I think you can go either way. I'm going to do a bunch of name dropping right here in one short area. I've been working on an article for a while about why the online coach is better than the one-on-one coach, and it's going to piss off a lot of people because everybody hates on my job because I work solely online. I refuse to work with people one-on-one. People drive me insane, and when I go to the gym, I go to the gym to train, not to talk, not to help anybody else. I go for me and me alone.
Yep.
So, you know, my good buddy, Donnie Thompson, and I really like Donnie Thompson. Donnie was the first man to ever total 3,000 pounds in a powerlifting meet. And the level of dedication it takes years after year after year and the amount of therapy and intelligence that it takes to do that it's impossible to wrap your head around how much intelligence it takes to put your body up to a point to where you can total 3,000 pounds in a powerlifting meet.
Oh, yeah.
He's always preaching, don't hire an online coach. Go out there and figure it out for yourself. And I'm friends with Jim Windler. I respect him a lot, and he's been saying this a lot of times, that one of the greatest things he ever had in his powerlifting career was no internet. There was nobody to just give him a program and say, do this. He had to go out in the gym and figure stuff out himself. I'm kind of on the other hand. I'm that guy that I want to go out in the gym and figure stuff out myself, but I also want someone else to provide me with advice. I want somebody to understand me, my mentality, the craziness that I like to go through. And I've got three people that write programs for me. One is a good buddy of mine that used to live here, now he lives in England, Harris. And then I've got Matt Ledusky writes programs for me, and Dave Tate writes programs for me. All three of them understand me mentally, you know, more than physically or anything else. They understand me mentally. So they'll write it down. All I have to do is go out there and do it. That's it. And if I want to get better at something, if I'm having some sort of major issue, then I'm going to get on an airplane and go train with a group of guys one weekend a year and figure stuff out. I'm going to get a ton of advice in one weekend and figure stuff out, and I'm going to get better. But I don't know. I'm way too crazy to really train with a group. I get too pissed off at people.
Yeah.
Yep. I get upset. People not working hard enough. I'm already in a mental groove when I'm at the gym, you know, to deal with people and to talk and to have to be nice. I just want to get out there and go, you know.
Yeah.
One of my best training partners here in Cyprus was from Russia. He didn't speak English or Greek. You know, everything that we said in training for a couple of years was just, come on, come on, come on. But that was it. But, you know, I think you've got to have that mix of figuring stuff out on your own. Both, you know, how to build your own training programs to how to fire yourself up mentally, how to shut yourself down. There's got to be some personal time there for you to figure your own stuff out, you know, for you to figure yourself out, for you to find yourself probably. But I think you'd be stupid if you cared about something and didn't pay someone to help you along the path. You know, I know you're working really hard with business and you're smart enough to know that you can probably get there on your own, but you can get there in about a third of the time. If you have a consultant come in and tell you which path to go, you can get there a whole lot faster.
I agree totally. The thing is, like right now, obviously I'm facing new changes every day, and the business never really stays the same at all, and that's just the way things are. And I'll be honest with you, Clint, there's a lot of people out there that hang a shingle and they'll tell you everything you want to hear, but I've been through enough of them, and not all of them are bad. A lot of them just taking your money and saying, you know what, I did all I can do for you. Now, when you're a guy or a girl sitting there and you have limited funding and you're depending on building your business and making it profitable and something you can stay with, that's not a lot of solace for you. And what's happened with me is, you know, I have the ability to do it. I have the contacts right now, better now than I ever had. And to me, it's like, you know what? Go out and learn how to do it. You know, you're this far now. There's no point of, you know, what's another month? What's another 3 months going to matter at this point? Because, you know, as I say, you build the foundation, you grow the foundation, and eventually it's going to blossom into what you want. And that's what I've tried to do with everything I do. Hey, you don't think I sit here every day and not want to be in Iceland?
Oh, absolutely.
There's not a day that goes by. But right now, the money has to go into the business, and that's the end of story. Maybe, I don't like even saying maybes, there's a strong possibility this year. If not, it's going to have to be next year. You don't think that disappoints me? Every day it does. But the thing that gives me the ability to keep stretching and reaching is to know I can go back out there at any point and set up anything I want to do that concerns with Iceland. Now, whether it's
You just gave yourself one more day of training to get prepared for it. The downside of that is that stone just got one more day to sit there and laugh at you. It's laughing and it's waiting for you, and it's preparing for you to get there. And it's probably going to be just as happy when you lift it as you are.
Yeah, and you're right. You hit it right on the head, man. I know it's waiting for me.
Oh,
I know.
Absolutely, man. I've got stones that I've made promises to certain Atlas stones. I will lift you every week. You know, if you I promise you I will lift you. I will put skin onto you, and I will put you somewhere to keep you happy. Just don't hurt me. Keep me safe. I will use you. You know, I think it's those stones you don't give attention to that end up hurting you.
Oh, without a doubt. But you know what the most unique thing is, man, is when you can have such feeling for something like that, that you're going to be successful. It might get you the first five times, but you know something? The more you can come back and beat it back and keep putting your will on it, you are going to be the winner in the whole thing. And that's something, I don't know, you know, as a trainer, as a strength athlete, as everything, I think about that a lot. And I say to myself, how come so many people can't figure that out though? How come so many people will have the tendency to watch, to see all that stuff? But why is it so many just can't grasp it and say to themselves, okay, I've got to do this. What do I have to do this? And when I do this, where am I going to get to with this? And it's like, You know, you've got to ask a lot of what ifs with yourself and constantly reinforce, go over things, change things. And I think I think a trainer is super, but I also think of things in a different way with this. There's so many of us who have that type of personality where we can go and do things alone, where we can go and not be afraid to make our mistakes. There'll be days we're clawing at the wall, we're scratching our head saying, what do I do next? But I also think, and we've talked about this on a lot of shows, you know, people like to call it your little voice, your innate intelligence, whatever. I think what you need to do is you need to plug into that, learn how to become quiet, learn how to just maybe pose some questions and wait for the answers. Because I'm telling you right now, I know from experience, they're going to come to you. It might come to you when you're driving your car. It might come to you at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake you right up out of a sound sleep. But I promise you, it is going to come to you. And I believe the only way you're ever going to become a very goal-oriented, successful person is you're going to have to not be afraid to be alone. You're going to have to ask the questions. Every night before I go to bed, Clint, I ask questions like, okay, I want to expand the show. What do I have to do? And I'll present maybe three things. Or, you know, I want to get to Iceland. How fast am I going to get to Iceland? What do I got to do to become bulletproof in Iceland? What
all that stuff is hard to deal with, man. All of that.
It's very hard to deal with.
It's so much easier, right? If you right now said, you know what, Clint, I'm not going to Iceland. You know,
right.
I'm too old. I'm not going to risk another bicep tear. I'm going to focus on work. I'm not going. I mean, you would, I don't know, you might not sleep as well tonight, or you might sleep really, really well. That would be a big stress off your back, but you wouldn't have anything
absolutely
to look forward to. You wouldn't have anything big to look forward to.
No. And you know what? This would affect the business in a lot of ways because, as I've always said, you know, besides your mother and father and the things that have happened when you're a kid and all the stuff with Jimmy, lifting is the second or very close to being the biggest thing that's ever been in my life. It's no different for me than getting up and brushing my teeth in the morning. It never goes away from me. It never takes a vacation. And the thing is, I do believe if I turn my back on Iceland, my life will suffer because there's some things as a man that you have to do. And if it kills me, I'm willing to do it. I'm that dedicated to getting there and getting that stone and coming around that sheep pen and putting it down and saying, and I don't know, I might go bananas. I might just fall on my knees and start bawling like a baby. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen because I've got so much stuff built up in me right now about that, where times I'll be sitting here and I'll just kind of drift off when I'm doing work. And I'm like, I wonder where that stone is placed right now. Or what is it like there? Is it real dark today there, or the sky clear? And, you know, what's the church look like today? Is the gold cross gleaming today? Has it rained all night and made the stone slicker? Has the stone got ice on it today? Can I see the snow-capped mountains, or have they disappeared like they did the last time? All those questions will constantly dog you, but I try to make them where I make it a game. I make it a mental exercise with me because the last thing I want to do is make that an enemy of mine. What I want to do is I want to go shake hands and then kick its ass straight through the friggin' ground. All right? That's how I reinforce it, and that's how I've been able to deal with it because, you know what? Like any athlete, you want to go away and do this stuff. You don't want to be sitting here another year. That's another year on your life. It's
absolutely
it's another year of taking an ass kicking again with stuff that, you know, eventually, you know, could become, you know, like you said, you get another tear or whatever. I don't want to go. I don't want to ever have another tear the rest of my life. Could it happen? Absolutely. I know it's part of what we do, but I've tried to make the Husafel my friend. But it's like, you know, as parents say, I'm your parent, not your friend. Well, it's I'm not a parent of that, but we are. It's a love-hate relationship, let me put it to you that way. That's the best way I can keep it within myself to hold on to it right now. But I know, and it knows, that I'm coming for it, and it's coming for me. It might not have legs and get up and walk to me, but when it's laying on its belly, because that's the way it has to lay on the ground, You don't think it's going to know me? It's going to know the smell of me. It's going to know the sweat of me. And it's surely going to know the vocal of me. So we're going to shake hands, but we're going to come out swinging. And something's going to win. And I plan on winning it this time. So go ahead and take it.
I've just got a big question. You get that sewn up in your arms. How far are you going to take it?
50 meters.
That's it. 50 meters.
I want to do 100 meters with it. You're the first one I've ever said it to on radio.
What's going to get you from 50 to 100?
I'm going to work my ass off more than I ever had, and I'm going to walk that thing till it buries me in the yard. Regardless, I am going to be as fast as I can, but the biggest thing I'm going to be is I'm going to have my head opened up like a can opener opened it, because I'm going to let it know right away I'm going to take your ass down. But yet when I put you down, you'll get the most respect you've ever probably had, because I can feel it, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I can feel what I'm going to feel like, but until you carry that thing and come around, even if it's one trip, one lap, I don't know what will ever match that. I don't know. Maybe your first love, maybe the greatest thing you've ever felt prior to that. Maybe. I don't know. It's a different thing. I don't know how to describe that stone. The best thing I can do is say this. The thing that always makes me want it that much more is this. I said it the two times I went up and did it. Who's lifted this before me? Whose DNA has that rock swallowed up? Whose DNA is going into my skin right now? It might sound a little bit off, but it's not, because, see, all those things make you wander. I want my mind to think, who's been here? And when I'm thinking about that stuff,
validation there.
Yeah,
You look at, you start naming off the names of people who have lifted that stone, and it may be a bunch of nobodies to everybody else, but it's somebody to you.
Oh yeah,
there are some heroes who have picked up that stone and carried it, and for you to be able to do that means you're there with them. You are one of them. You deserve and you belong there. You know, with that piece of history, with those list of names.
Do you realize this, too? I mean, you know, from being a very, very good competitive lifter and a winner like that. Do you realize, though, and this isn't bragging either, and I know a guy like you will appreciate this. Do you realize how big of a goal you set there, and how big that is to complete something like that? Do you really think about that? You know, I think about that all the time. How many people in the entire world, whether they give a shit or not, had the balls to get on the plane, go to a country they've never been to, change their whole lifestyle all for a stone, and to want to carry that thing around and succeed with it? You realize that's monumental, man.
Absolutely.
How can I describe that to everybody listening to the show? It's like, think about the greatest thing you've ever done or wanted to do, and then start magnifying it more and more every day.
Absolutely.
Tell me how you feel.
Pick out anything you really want to do, and then let's just focus on nothing but that for years and years and years.
Yeah.
You know, that's me. I want an 800-pound deadlift.
Yep.
You know, I think I'm currently 70 pounds away. I think I can pull 730. But, you know, I've been busting my tail for a long time to get where I'm at. What's going to get me there? And I've got to get back there. I don't know. You know, 771, 350 kilos is an acceptable number to deadlift in my mind. That's acceptable.
Yep.
It's not excellent. It's acceptable.
Yeah. You know,
but for me, I've got to get back to 800. That's the number that's in my head, and I think about it every single day. It eats me alive. I go to bed at night and I think about it. I wake up and I think about it. I know that I've got to gain weight. I know I've got to get stronger. I know I've got to stay healthier for a long period of time, and none of that's easy. You know, but when I do it, I'm going to air guitar. I guarantee you. I may have to brush away some tears to do it, but I'm going to air guitar, and it's going to be a mean air guitar when I do it.
Yeah.
You got to have something that you love and you're passionate about, and you think about it all the time. You know, and we were talking earlier about, you know, your business with your podcast and how many people are unsuccessful with podcasts. Honestly, they're you know, we talked about a couple of different people that are just unprofessional with podcasts, and The issue is if they just kept trying, they would get professional. If yep. they literally put in 500 shows, if they, yep. if they put a show out there and it really sucked and they went back and thought, what can I do to get better? You know, yep. I've got to get better at this because I really want to be good. Okay, I'm a real butthole, but I've got to get better at this.
Yeah.
What am I going to
yep.
do to get better? And they just yep. literally put in 500 shows, you know, and the – gosh, how many hours goes into each one of your shows? Three,
well, you,
4 hours
right.
minimum? Maybe closer to five when you're looking at all the technical work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're, 30,000 hours goes really quick.
You know, somebody
put 30,000 hours into something. Once they did it, they'd be celebrating, yep. and they'd probably be pretty freaking good at it.
Well, and you got to remember, most people, once they get bigger, they have technical people doing all this. I mean, I'm the technician for everything. So, you know where this works out the best, Clint, is this. Well, you know, we were talking about different things I want to do off air, and, you know, it's very painful having to do all these things because you have to learn so many things. You have to be very good at it. When I put these out to the public, obviously they got to be very competently done and sound very good, obviously, and fire a lot of inspiration up in people. And I got to tell you the truth. Most people are not willing to do that.
Heck no,
okay.
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I am not
right.
willing to put in 30,000 hours to get 500 shows on a podcast.
Right.
That's way too freaking hard for me. But I'll put in the work to pull 800. You know. And you're putting in all this work partially because you're going to use it to get you to Iceland to lift some
yep.
crazy stone.
Yep.
And that
yep.
makes total sense.
But the whole point too is this. Anything worthwhile, as we all know, is going to take an awful lot of effort. And I've said this before, and I don't know if I've ever said this with you and I, but I will say it now, and if I'm repeating, well, it's not going to hurt, believe me, for anybody to hear this. I hear a lot of people say, I want to start a business, I want to lift this, I want to meet this, I want to do that. Great, great. And as Clint said before, well, where's your plan? Well, I haven't really thought of one yet. Well, where's your goals? Well, this is what I want to do. But how have you defined yourself, defined your life, defined your business, defined your lifting? You know, everybody out there is going to make it sound like it's a piece of cake. All right? It's not a piece of cake. It is not a piece of cake. Do you have the ability to do it? Yes, you do. But how long is it going to take you to do it, and how long can you stay with it? See, that's where I see everything with me is how much more do you have to put out and put into something when it could be beating you around for a week at a time, all right? How much can you keep investing? How much more are you going to take and give back to succeed with this stuff? And this is why when we see these amazing athletes, whether they're in the Olympics, Olympic lifting, strongman, you know, powerlifting, odd objects, anything, stones, and we're thoroughly amazed. And the question is always like, well, how did you do it? Well, here's how you do it, all right? Formulate your goal, lay down a plan, and you got to go with it. See, you know, like you were saying in the beginning, you got to take steps. And if you can't take the first step, how are you going to get to the end of the railroad track where you succeed? And, you know, you can read everything you want. I think there's a lot of good material. You can listen to whatever you want. You can get coaches. But the bottom line is, and this is always going to be the bottom line, the responsibility lays on your shoulders.
Eventually, you've just got to chalk up your hands and wrap it around a piece of cold steel and give it all you got.
That's it. And you know what? Like Clint said, and I said, when you nail it, you give a blood-curdling scream, and you play your air guitar where you're leaping off the ground, and you're not worrying about what people think. Oh, he's crazy. Well, who gives a damn? You know what I just did?
Care less, I promise you.
Right. And you know what? And here's what you say. You know what I just did? And they'll look at you like, huh? You know? Look, I've said this before. We're trying to do this, and we are doing it with the show as being teachers. I think everybody on here is a teacher. I don't care if you're accredited or not. if I ever get lucky enough to pull this off, everything that I want to do, and I shouldn't even say if, because we will, I would love to get this stuff implemented in schools. I've said this before. Physical strength and culture are absolutely pertinent for anybody's life to get anywhere they want and succeed. And I always said, secondly, they would learn about the strength and power of money. Learn how to take money, invest money, learn how to appreciate money, learn that it can buy you a freedom where being broke will never, and living from thing to thing to thing. No one says you have to worship it, nothing like that, but it is a means of a way to do it. Look, it's $3,500 to go to Iceland, okay, $3,500. It would be another $35 or more to go to Scotland, and I want to go and live in Spain for a month next year. We could be talking $15,000 easily within 6 months of each other, all right? You have to make money. You have to understand money. You have to appreciate it.
You know, it's a whole lot of money, but if I walked up to anybody on the face of the planet and said, look, all you need to be successful for the rest of your life is $15,000.
Yeah. You can bet your ass you'd run to it.
It's just 15 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's the ultimate vacation. It's the ultimate experience. It's the love of your life. You know, you've been looking at this for your entire life. You know, your entire life is built up to this. It's just 15 grand. All you get is put the work in, and it's there, man. That's there.
You know something, too? Stories. You know, how many times have you sat around with your friends, your wife, your kids, same way with me, my family?
I've told the same stories 10 dozen times.
But they love them. And absolutely. Not only that, man. Do you realize when you tell a story how much hope it gives somebody?
Absolutely.
You know, people understand how you touch lives with words. I say that all the time. Five words can change your life. Well, bullshit, they sure can, man. The little things like that, sitting around with your friends, talking about whether it's, you know, if you and I were sitting around right now, if we live near each other, I mean, depending on what was going on with your family and everything, if you and I could sit down, just the two of us or your wife, whatever, the kids too, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm just saying, if it was you and I, we'd probably stay up at least 48 hours probably straight talking.
Absolutely.
Or till somebody passed out. Why? Because there's so much you can learn from one another, and life lessons through lifting or whatever else are going to. You don't think I learned from you every time you're on here? I learn from everybody because I listen. It's not about me. It's about us here. It's about you getting out there, getting your message, and offering things. It's not about me to put my foot down on the show only if something was going awry. But I give everybody a very big field to play on, and I want you to tell your stories. I want you to promote yourself. I want people to go to you and hire you. This is what it's all about. It's a family here that we keep reaching out and grabbing more and more and keep bringing you in here. I want not a million. I want tens of millions here, and I'm going after every single thing I can. I'm not kidding when I say that. A lot of people talk it, but I walk it. And I'm not I'm not going to get into the things I've done or brag about it. I'm proud of what I've done to this point. We're doing so many things right now on the outside no one even knows about. But this is how things progress. This is how goals are fulfilled, because I'm one of those guys that can't let go. See, that's always been my thing with everything. It's like sometimes I take things to such extremes because when I love something and appreciate it, I can't let it go. I can't. And I've always been that way, even as a kid, to the point where I'll wear people out, literally. It's my nature. It's my love. It's my passion for stuff. And when you care about things, you know, that's what my sister and everybody, there's a lot of teachers in my family, Clint.
But you finish.
I finish. But the funniest thing is, and you'll like this, they said to me, you know, you'd be one hell of a teacher. And I was like, yeah, but there's a problem here. And they're like, yeah, we know what the problem is. You'd end up putting somebody through a wall. I said, yeah, because I can't deal with disrespect. You know, I can jaw with the best of them and love busting balls like anybody. But if we're in a setting where it's got to be, this is the way it is, and I love kids, I love teaching. You know, I've got tons of nieces and nephews. It brings me such joy to see them run with little stones and flip little 15-inch tires and try to build stuff out of stones that are back there and the way I set things up. I love all that stuff. But the problem I can't deal with is mediocrity, number one, and a lot of the bullshit attitude out there. That's where I would die. You couldn't use me the way I wanted to be used. I'd end up going down the road. So, I mean,
you just give yourself an opportunity to make these kids a success. That's it. Yeah. Your absolute worst problem child would be your best success story, would be the one person you'd be more proud of than anybody else. You know, I'm surrounded by teachers on both sides of my family. And, you know, it's I never heard about their good students. I always heard about the students that caused them problems for years and ended up being a success. Just like anything else, you'd be great, man.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what we are here is greatness. Summarize anything you want. Give out all your information. I'll give mine. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
You know, the only thing else I wanted to touch on, you talked about, you know, using your words to change the lives of other people. Just a quick story. I was at a seminar at Elite FTS a little more than a year ago, and I was mostly observing because I wasn't healthy enough to really be a coach a participant. So I'm watching all these lifters, and I've got this group of 10 lifters I'm watching, and I've got a group of guys over here that just – they're really terrible. They just absolutely suck at squats, but they're trying hard. And there's this little super petite girl stuck with them, and I find out that she is a multi-time gold medal holder in IPF powerlifting. And she's just technically perfect. She's super tiny, and she's squatting what the big guys are squatting. So I'm pulling all these new lifters over here. Watch her. See what she's doing here. See what she's doing here. See what she's doing there. I didn't talk to her all day. I got a bunch of photos of her. I put them all over Facebook, and I'm asking her friends, you know, how do I tag her in these photos? I wanted to make sure she gets them. You know, she was great at the seminar all day. Well, they say, you know, look, she's a ghost. She has no online presence whatsoever. She never goes on the internet, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, nothing. Huh. She stays off of the internet. So I'm like, well, you know, all right. Well, fast forward a couple of months, I've got my training log at Elite FTS, and it's as unpopular as it's ever been. Nobody's looking at it. I'm not getting any feedback if it's good. Nobody's watching my videos. So I just make a post on there, you know, I'm going to stop posting my training videos. I have no way to know if anybody's watching it. You know, nobody's commenting. I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on. There's no feedback from anybody. And the next day I wake up to an email from this young lady.
She
said, I still got the email saved. She said, your training log is the one that I go to and check every day because I learn more from your training log than anybody else's on the website. Please don't stop posting. People like me need to learn from people like you.
And, holy shit.
You know, and we're talking of, you know, a world champion in powerlifting.
How did that make you feel?
I went right back and began posting my training log the next day.
There you go.
But that never think that those little words that you say to people don't make a difference. And whether it's, you know, you typing them up in your training log or you sending someone just a simple email to say, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate what you do. You might make a world of difference in somebody's day or their life.
Hey, you know something, Clint? Words are vital to everybody. I don't care how strong, how badass you think you are or whatever. We're all suffering at times, and it's just nice to hear somebody say, you know what? I appreciate what you do, or you know what? You're important in my life. You'd be surprised what that will do to you, what that can create, and people don't get it. And a lot of people now feel that, you know, being cruel to people or, you know, making fun of their accomplishments or whatever is the thing to do. And it's just something that, you know, they're the ones that are lacking. They're the ones you got to get away from. And if you want to really, really get to where you want to get, you're going to have to be willing to do things like that. And when you can do that and separate yourself from the pack, great things are going to happen. There's no doubt about it. And I'm a guy that likes to stick with people and try to help them out. But you know what? there's going to come a time and place where you just can't do any more for somebody, and you just have to go your own way. That's just the way it is. But boy, when you get comments and things like that, that's got to make you feel on top of the world. And I mean, you know, starry-eyed guy to being the first nice thing ever said to you. You've been around people, good and bad, people that have complimented you, people that have thanked you immensely for what you've done. But boy, oh boy, when you get something out of the blue like that, you know, how can't you not be smiling from ear to ear?
Oh, it's tough. I was a happy man, I promise you that.
I'm sure you were. What else you got, boss?
Nothing else. I'm sitting here right now. The TV just kicked on. It is 11:50 at night, and the opening ceremony for the Paralympics is on right now. So we've got 2 weeks of the Paralympics coming on.
Yep.
I was planning on going to bed early tonight, but, man, if you thought the Olympics was fun to watch, I don't think you guys got near the coverage we did, but if you think the Olympics was fun to watch, man, I can't wait for the next 2 weeks of the Paralympics. This is the real deal here, man. This stuff is absolutely awesome. And it's on 24 hours a day here. It's absolutely amazing. I can't wait. But the next time I talk to you, that's probably the topic of conversation.
That's fine with me. I've got no problem with that at all. That's great stuff. Why don't you give out your Facebook, Instagram, anything you want, and let me give mine out, and we'll call it a day.
You guys can find me pretty much anywhere just under Clint Darden. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or my training log at Elite the FTS.
It's awesome. You got the stuff, man. House of biceps, baby. That's the shit, man. We love that. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, free ebook. Go after it. Strength times power equals success. In the winner's circle, there's two products that can get you many, many places. Check those out. You got any questions, you know how to get a hold of me. excuse me. Motivationandmuscle.com. Go out /category/podcast. Go out and check out. There's more content out there than anybody in the world. Check it out. Let me know what you think. There's always a comment page. All I can tell you is you want to learn, you're going to find out a ton of information. Just wait to hear this show. I mean, it's loaded. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Everybody has. I thank you for that. And don't forget, too, you know, we're streaming 24/7 as a radio show now. Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha. Very soon, I'm going to find out, I believe tomorrow, we're going to be on Apple TV and Bose Radio. This way now we can come right into your house, too. So there's going to be much more where you're going to be able to find us on. Obviously, they're negotiating when that happens, and we apply. Then we see if we can get in. Big stuff. And most people don't understand it, and I understand it that you don't, and that's cool. All I can tell you is I can't wait till the end of the year how much we're going to grow. We're growing from week to day to week to week. It's beautiful. If there's a show you'd like Clint and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give words of encouragement. That's what we've been talking about. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for the day. That might be all they get. And if you're going to go lift, push it, press it, pull it, squat it, bend it, break it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Husserl Steele says, crusher in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut our own path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I always say, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through the speakers. Russell will say that forever. You've listened to the show from the very beginning, and you're a guest on here. Thank you, and we will say that, like I said, till the day we end. Clint, what can I tell you? Smoke and show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Can't wait to be on again.
Yes, sir. That'll be next month. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 of your friends, because the tank is on the way. We're coming for you. And I'll leave with this. As my dad always said, and it's important, think about this when you hear this show. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Those are sage words, and I say them over and over to myself every day. I love you, Dad. I wish you were still with us, man. I think about you every day, how much you would enjoy what your son has done and is accomplishing. It makes me very proud to know how I'm sure you're smiling down on me every day. So, everybody, for Clint Darden, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you with Clint next month, but we'll have this show up long before he's back on. And go out and do something magnificent. It's not that hard. I mean, have a little confidence, and most of all, have the ability to finish. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.